Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Ian, I think I've already guaranteed that the Buffalo Bills are going to win on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And
very bold.
Again, well, it's like Corey Curtis came on the show and made fun of it, and Vingan apparently, what did he say in the studio?
Yeah, he was, yeah, he wanted me to give you a hard time for, you know, making such a bold guarantee.
Yeah. Well, again, guarantees are guarantees. They're going to happen. It's not, you know, it's like bold takes. It's not bold takes. It's what's going to happen. And what's going to happen is Buffalo Bills are going to win on Sunday. Period. The Titans are not going to win. They are going to be 1-5 at the end of Sunday. At the end of business on Sunday, they will be 1-5. And then they will go to Detroit. And I have not guaranteed this yet, but I probably will soon. They will lose at Detroit, and they will be 1-6, period. They will stink. And I know that there are other one-win teams that are out there. Technically, right now, if the draft were to be held today, the Titans would hold the 6th pick in the draft. Boo! We want number one. We want number two. Jacksonville has one win, but Jacksonville just threw for 380 yards on Indianapolis. You threw for 95. The Rams have one win, but they have Matthew Stafford at quarterback. You have Will Levis. New England has one win, and they might be as bad as you, but they just turned to their future at quarterback, and so hopefully they'll win some games along the road so that you can still end up with the number one pick. But I want to get out ahead of something right now, because I've said many a time when it comes to the next quarterback decision that I do not think that the current administration, unless something changes, should be allowed to make that pick. Again, they're the ones that picked Will Levis. They're the ones that believed in Will Levis. They're the ones who thought that this coaching change would be better for Will Levis. They're the ones that believed. And so their poor evaluation is going to lead to the opportunity of drafting a Shedeur Sanders, drafting a Jalen Milroe, drafting a Cam Ward, who they're sending Sam Somerville to go watch this weekend instead of watching it themselves. They're going to be in position, I assume, to pick a quarterback. And I don't think they should be allowed to pick the quarterback. But the Rand Club, which again, I don't put, this is not just Rand Carthon. This is Rand Carthon and Chad Brinker. But the Rand Club, the fans who no matter what happens think that the Titans administration has done a great job. Mwah! That guard you took in the first round, woof, that's really working out for you. What they are starting to say is something that is completely untrue. This is a rebuild. That's what they're starting to say. And so I've decided we're going to get out ahead of this. We got to stop with this idea that the Tennessee Titans went into the season thinking that they were going to be bad, and that this is a rebuilding season, and that it's okay on October 18th that this football team has no pulse. Because it is October 18th, and this football team has no pulse. They're going on the road to Buffalo. And if you look at the injury report, there are a lot of guys who are on the injury report. Burks is out. Spears is out. Coburn is out. Legarius Sneed is questionable and didn't practice this week. Will Levis is questionable this week. Buffalo's got like two guys questionable. They played on Monday night. But again, that's what happens when there's really nothing to play for. So now, as the Titans have a 9% chance of making the playoffs, according to NFL.com, and I think that's a little high, as if the numbers are based on some kind of historical data point or something and not the idea that Will Levis is the quarterback, with a 9% chance of making the playoffs, most people know that the Titans are, in fact, done for the year. And that's why I think a lot of the talk is going to now turn to Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward and Jalen Milroe and Carson Beck and Quinn Ewers. But the Titans were never rebuilding. And here's why. Number one, rebuilding teams don't proclaim that they will be contenders. That's what the Titans did. All offseason, the Titans talked about high expectations. They talked about Lombardi trophies. They talked about winning immediately, Chad Brinker said. They talked about how all of the additions. Rand Carthon said, we had a hell of an offseason. Brian Callahan went on Bussin' with the Boys. He said that he had high expectations off this football team based upon what they did in free agency and the quarterback that they had. So don't get it twisted. When you say, oh, no, this team, they didn't believe. When did they think they were going to be contenders? This was the owner in January when they hired the coach.
As I've said time and time again, I will never shy away from saying that I have extremely high expectations for our football team and really our entire organization. I expect us to build a team that is going to have sustained success and bring Lombardi trophies to the city of Nashville. I am confident that we have put the right pieces in place to bring that goal to life and build a future that Titan fans will be proud of.
She told you right there. I mean, I have very high expectations. Not, hey, this is going to be a long process, but we're looking forward to the challenge. That's how you say you're rebuilding without saying you're rebuilding. Not, I got high expectations, and I'm talking Lombardi trophies. So, again, rebuilding teams don't proclaim that they have high expectations, that they're competing for Super Bowls and things like that. Number two, rebuilding teams do not trade third-round draft choices for players in their prime, which is what you did for L'Jarius Sneed. L'Jarius Sneed, if you're a team that is competing today, is a good player to have, albeit he has not played very well. But he is a good player to have on your team if you're trying to win today. But the Titans, I guess, if you're one of these people that believes they were rebuilding, just also decided to trade a third-round pick anyway? No. If you are looking to rebuild, you want more draft picks. You don't turn down the Rams' offer for T'Vondre Sweat's slot to move back, getting a second round in next year's draft. You don't do that if you're rebuilding. And then finally, rebuilding teams don't sign 29-year-old receivers for $90 million. It's funny, I did a deep dive on Josh Allen's first 2 years in comparison to Will Levis. We'll do that later in the show. But I did a deep dive going down and seeing, you know, what Buffalo did over the years and everything else. And when they were really rebuilding, they made the playoffs and said, it's not good enough. We're tearing it down. We don't want Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. And for a year, they missed the playoffs, and then they were back in 2019. But they didn't go spend on Stephon Diggs until year three, when Allen was ready to pop. So again, rebuilding teams don't spend $90 million on 29-year-old receivers when every draft is loaded with receivers. Rebuilding teams don't do that. So if anyone looks at the 2024 Titans and justifies how terrible this team is with, well, this was a rebuild anyway, or they're trying to tank, this was a plan, you're just making it up. Or you're incredibly gullible, and you heard somebody else say that, and so, again, it was somebody else making it up. But that's it. This was not a rebuild. This may be the best thing that ever happens to the Titans, because maybe they do find Cam Ward or Quinn Ewers or Shedeur Sanders, and they come to the Titans and they carry the organization the way that Jaden Daniels has helped carry Washington. I doubt it, based on the people making the pick, but maybe. But how you got here is not by choice. How you got here is by incompetence. That's how you got here. So don't sit here and try to sell me that, oh, no, no, no. We thought going into the year we were going to get smoked at home by Malik Willis. We thought that was going to happen. Okay. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll get to some phones. Plus, I don't know if Titan fans are prepared with what's coming on Sunday. We'll do it next, 1025 The Game. Nashville's best deal this week is Staley Chicago Italian Dining right here in Nashville. Winners of numerous best of awards. This is truly one of the best kept secrets in Nashville. Staley Chicago Italian Dining brings amazing Italian food to the South, including their original Italian beef sandwiches, Vienna Chicago style hot dogs, and the best Euros south of Chicago. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get half off a $20 gift card while supplies last. Fireball Hot Take Friday. The phone number 615-737-1025, and they're driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Joe is in New Jersey and has been waiting patiently and is up next. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Joe.
Jared, thank you for having me on. Just want to say, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
Calling from New Jersey, obviously, diehard Titans fan, and I appreciate where your thoughts come from always, especially in this case, because I find myself being extremely worried about the future of the team because I don't know who's being held accountable, like just anywhere. We've been just had the wool over our eyes for two offseasons now about collaborating, $100 million in cap space, a top eight pick, a pick of the litter at head coach. You hear from Amy, the expectations are high, but the decision-making is not there. She sounds like an AI bot reading off the screen that she cares about winning championships. I just don't feel it anywhere. Whether she's trying to fill up seats or do whatever, I'm just extremely concerned about the direction of the franchise, who's being held accountable, and to your points earlier, who's making these decisions. What is the way around this right now? Is it getting rid of this entire staff from top to bottom? Is it, pushing new ownership in here? Like, what are our options? Because I see a dead end. I see a stadium in 2027 that's looking like Vegas, filled with other fans. I just don't know where we go from here.
Okay, good call. Thank you, Joe. So I share the same anxiety that you do about the future of the franchise. So I can tell you what I think they should do, and I can tell you where I think the hang-up is, but those are two different branches of the tree. So let's start with what I think they should do. I think what they should do is I think they need to restart the football operation. And I think they need to do it with somebody who's got experience in the NFL. And the guy I circle is Rick Spielman, the former general manager of the Vikings. You guys love to bitch about John Robinson missing on Isaiah Wilson and Caleb Farley. Well, his first round picks in those time periods were Justin Jefferson and Christian Darrisaw. So I think he was doing a pretty good job in Minnesota. I think Spielman's a really bright guy. In fact, Spielman was part of the group that helped the new owner, Josh Harris, figure out what the Washington Commanders were going to do with their hierarchy and their football department. So I think Spielman's a bright guy. I like Spielman too, by the way. So a guy with experience, Spielman, Dimitrov, who was in Atlanta when they built a team good enough to take a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl. Dimitrov, if you've ever met Dimitrov, he's a smart guy. Football experience. Amy needs a football person running football who is truly a footballer. Not some guy that went to business school and can tell you what the computer says. Not a general manager who's not going to be bothered to go scout Cam Ward tomorrow. But I mean a football guy. That's what she should do. They need to, and I said this, somebody said to me today, they go, don't talk about firing Brian Callahan. Brian Callahan, what's Brian Callahan supposed to do about it? What's Brian Callahan, what's he, why are you going to blame him? And I said, I think they need a reset at the very top. And that means, again, and let's forget about these titles because, again, this is why the Titans are where they are. Is because, today this guy's in charge, and then tomorrow that guy, and he's a president, but he's not really president, and then he's the other president, and then he's the... Forget about all that. So let's just use the title GM, because that's what it's supposed to be. If you hire a new GM, and you get rid of the cancer curer, and you say, hey, it's your organization, Rick Spielman, I think if you're doing this right, you have to say to Rick Spielman or to Thomas Dimitrov or to Mark Dominic or to, again, I'm bringing a guy in with experience because Amy does not understand the league. It's as obvious as it can be with her recent hires that she don't have a clue when it comes to how to build this thing upright. Because, again, when they hired John Robinson, Steve Underwood and Floyd Reese were a big part of that. Steve Underwood and Floyd Reese ain't around anymore. So she needs to hire an experienced football person. And then I think it's only right and only fair to let that person decide on the coach. Now, there could be a guy that takes that job that comes in here that could say, hey, like, I like Brian Callahan. Like, I like him. He can be my coach. Most of the time, in my experience, these guys want to pick their own coaches. But sometimes there are guys that come into a spot and they say, no, I think I can work with this guy, and it actually works. Doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. But I want that guy to have his choice on the coach and go from there. But that's not what's going to happen around here. What I think is going to happen is I think they're going to blame Rand. I think they're going to fire him. And then I think Chad Brinker's going to be in charge, even though he's kind of already in charge now. That's what I think is going to happen. And then Chad Brinker will get to take out his computer and his business school degree, and that'll be what's drafting your quarterback with the third overall pick this year. The idea of overthrowing the owner, you can't do it. If you could, Cleveland would have a new owner by now. But you just can't do it. Cam is up next here on our program. Cam, thank you for waiting patiently. Go ahead, Cam.
Yeah, Jerry, Cam. I got a question for you. So, yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, go.
Okay, so if A.J. Brown, if A.J. Brown was the reason that Robinson got fired, which is, pretty obvious. If Derrick Henry gets 2,000 yards, leads the NFL in rushing at the end of the season, who gets fired?
Well, I brought this up yesterday. I don't think there's a similar sentiment surrounding Derrick Henry. Thank you, Cam. I don't think there's a similar sentiment surrounding Derrick Henry that there was A.J. Brown. And the only reason I think this is because the Titans were competing for a Super Bowl. You know, when I've said a lot of positive things about Ryan Tannehill over the last year and a half. And the reason I've said positive things about Ryan Tannehill is because I do think Ryan Tannehill is a good quarterback. But I used to, after the Cincinnati game, yell and scream about how they needed to get a better quarterback than Tannehill. And people say, well, you were all over Tannehill after the Cincinnati game. Yeah, because I knew you couldn't win the Super Bowl with Tannehill at quarterback. Like, Tannehill lost, they lost the AFC title game, and Tannehill threw for like 200 yards and, you know, couldn't go out there and really shoot you back into that game with Mahomes. Not that I expected him to, but you lost that game. And I said at the time, a lot of people were saying, well, you know, Kansas City took Derrick Henry out of the game, and if you take Derrick Henry out of the game, they can't win, and Tannehill proved it. And I was like, well, hold on. The Titans' defense was terrible in the second half, really the end of the first half, with guys like Rashawn Evans and Tremaine Brock and those bozos out there in the AFC title game. But just because Tannehill couldn't beat Mahomes that day doesn't mean you can't win the Super Bowl with Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback. Then Tannehill lit it up on fire the next year, and I was like, okay. But they got in the playoffs against Baltimore, and Tannehill didn't do it. They scored 13 points. And Tom Brady, the guy that everybody was considering as an alternative to Tannehill, went and won the Super Bowl at Tampa Bay. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I'm a little worried about all of this. Like, I'll tell you, I don't know. And then Tannehill went out the next year in the playoffs and threw the three interceptions, and I'm like, okay, you can't win the playoffs, Tannehill's quarterback. But at that point, we were talking about winning in the playoffs. We're talking about competing for the Super Bowl. We were talking about it was a different mindset. This team, again, they lied to everybody and said they were going to have a competitive football team, but I think most of us knew they weren't going to be that level of a competitor. So people were mad that A.J. Brown got traded because they had a good team, but they wanted to have a great team. This team, people were hopeful that they'd have a good team this year with the possibility that they'd have a bad team. Now they have a terrible team, and it's like, well, how much of a difference would Derrick Henry make on this terrible team? So that's why I don't think people are mad. Quite frankly, I think the reality is the same. You had a dynamic, game-changing, win-you-games football player, and you thought you didn't need him. You thought you could go get another one. You thought it would be okay. They thought they'd be better off with Tony Pollard running this offense because they could throw the ball to him more than Henry, and they're wrong. Derrick Henry's going to rush for 2,000 yards this year. And it is what it is. I mean, there's no changing it. So I do think that, you know, he asked who gets fired. I think she learned from the last couple of screw-ups. Like, I was surprised nobody got fired after Malik won. I was surprised nobody got fired after Sunday with as bad a shape Indy was. It's like she knows now that that's her MO, so she's not going to do it. But Derek may run for 2,000 yards this year. And if he does, I mean, people say, like, Keith Bullock fired off a tweet at me. You know, I was like, well, we run a different scheme. I'm like, Derrick Henry ran for 2,000 yards in this scheme when Arthur Smith was running it. Derrick can run in this scheme. And he was like, well, our offensive line's not the same as the Ravens. Right. Because they actually invested at right tackle instead of just saying, Bill Callahan can do it. And there is a difference. Tomorrow from 1 to 6, New Heights Brewing at 928 Representative John Lewis Way South is having an afternoon of free live music and good vibes before the Post Malone concert at Nissan Stadium, benefiting the relief efforts in East Tennessee presented by us at Cromwell Media. $1 from every pint will be donated to the East National Foundation to help those in need from the devastation of Hurricane Helene. More details can be found at thegamenational.com/events.
Trades the last couple of days. Just what have your conversations been like with Rand and Chad about setting yourself up for the deadline? Your opinions on selling, buying, input?
I let those guys handle most of that right now. I got enough on my plate. That's you know, we'll have conversations if those calls come in, but most of my focus is fully on trying to get us ready to go play Buffalo and all the games coming up after that too. So they handle the trade deadline. That's personnel's job. And if things come up, I'll be in the mix of it in the conversations. But other than that, I'm not in there doing a whole lot of it. They're the ones, you know, if there's something going on, they're running that show.
That was Brian Callahan. And that was a great answer, by the way, from Brian Callahan about the trade deadline, saying, hey man, those guys handle it. The guys that don't do press conferences, they handle that. I just coach football team. That's all I'm worried about right now. But I did notice that DeAndre Hopkins came out and said that he voiced that he likes where the Titans are. And he likes where he is and whatnot. I mean, again, like the way these guys choose their words, sometimes it's kind of funny. It's like they're intentionally being ambiguous on purpose. And that's exactly what Hopkins was doing. But I do believe that DeAndre likes it here. And ESPN reported during the week that DeAndre is in no rush to be traded, and the Titans aren't in any rush to trade DeAndre Hopkins. And that's great. But that doesn't play a role as to whether or not the Titans need to trade DeAndre Hopkins. The Titans, if they can get a fifth-round pick or better, they need to trade DeAndre Hopkins. Like, I'm just telling you right now, there is no point in DeAndre Hopkins being on this team for the rest of this season. And if the Titans end up keeping DeAndre Hopkins with an offer of a fifth-round pick or better on the table, then that will tell me all I need to know about how this organization makes the decisions. The GM told me one time that a general manager has two choices. They can do their job or they can protect their job. And in the case of DeAndre Hopkins, you cannot tell me that last year you looked at a 2-4 football team with the best running back in the league. Last year's Titan team, by the way, is better than this year's Titans team. You could look at that 2-4 team and say, oh, God, we had to have the 5th-round pick for Kevin Byard and the 6th-round pick for Kevin Byard. And we also can't use the excuse of, well, DeAndre Hopkins likes it here. DeAndre doesn't want to be traded. That's great. Kevin Byard didn't want to be traded either. Trust me. And they traded him. So DeAndre doesn't really get a say. As great as it is that DeAndre doesn't want to be traded, he really, his opinion doesn't mean anything to me. But if the Titans are actually going to show that this is a good football program, they'll trade DeAndre Hopkins. They'll find a way to get it done. And again, I'm fine with the idea of the Titans putting it out there through ESPN that, yeah, you know, we're not really convinced we're going to trade DeAndre just to see if that gets Kansas City or Washington or somebody else to up their ante a little bit for DeAndre Hopkins. But it makes no point. There's no sense in him being on this football team at the end of this football season. But I did notice how many people were like, DeAndre Hopkins says he wants to be a Titan. So? Again, just like Byard last year. Byard didn't have a choice. This is how the league works. And I will say this too. I do think that the fifth and sixth round picks don't matter as much anymore. I heard Mike Lombardi talking about this week. He said what's happened is guys that project as fifth round picks end up staying in college because they can get NIL money, and the NIL money might be more money than the NFL money. So they'll take the NIL money and they'll stay in college and they'll get playing time and all of that. And so what the draft after the fourth round has become is just kind of a seniors draft. Now, look, you got Jarvis Brownlee out of it last year, so it doesn't mean that it's void of talent. But it's not the same as what a fifth-round pick used to be. And even then, fifth-round picks, for the most part, aren't that big of a deal. I also see no point in keeping DeAndre Hopkins around for Will Levis. That's kind of another point that I've heard been made, which is, you know, it's better for Will Levis to have DeAndre Hopkins here. That's great, but Will Levis sucks, and so it doesn't really matter. And he's obviously not going in the right direction. And I don't even know if he's going to play on Sunday, simply because the injury report has him listed as questionable, and he wasn't questionable last week. So I don't know how zero sacks could lead to Will Levis, although he did take out the ball boy, so maybe that's a re-injured the shoulder or something, or maybe the Titans are looking for a reason to not play him and saying, hey, we're going to make sure that shoulder is 100%. No. We're going to make sure it's 1,000%, even though 1,000% is not a percent unless you're comparing it to something before. We want to make sure that shoulder is 1,000% better than it was last week. But this idea of them trading DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, it's crazy. Also, the other thing, when it comes to draft picks and trades and things like that, you don't get a lot of draft picks by trading at the NFL trade deadline. You don't get a bunch of draft picks by trading guys on the last year of their deal who you're probably not bringing back, who a team could pick up to go. That's not where you get your picks. You get your picks when you move from 3 to 8. And you pick up, you know, a second rounder in this year's draft, a second rounder in next year's draft, and a third rounder in next year's draft, you know, whatever it ends up being. That's where you get your picks. Like when the Rams traded to 39, you picked Devondre Sweat at 38, and the Rams traded to 39 and gave up a second rounder next year. That's where you get the picks. And so I think, you know, this idea of like, well, the trade deadline, the Titans need to get all these assets and they need to, you're not getting good picks by trading DeAndre Hopkins or Nick Folk or Dylan Raidens. You're not getting good picks. You get good picks when you trade down with a valuable pick. Just write that one down. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number on the program, 615-737-1025. Big college football game tomorrow. That's right, Tennessee and Alabama. And I feel bad for one guy who's under a lot of pressure tomorrow. But it comes with the territory, and that's next. Let me tell you about Fireball Whiskey. Nothing tastes as good and goes down as smooth as ice-cold Fireball Sin Whiskey. That's right. And there's no better way to ignite the night than to do so with ice-cold Fireball Cinema Whiskey. It's the weekend. It's a big football weekend. And the way to enjoy it? Not with a beer. Not with some kind of, you know, liqueur. No, it's with the man's Fireball Whiskey. Ignite the night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball Cinnamon Whiskey.
It's the lack of the big play that is causing the problems. And I think part of it is that they don't believe that in Nico as much as maybe we thought they did. You know, you look at the Oklahoma game, and he only threw it 21 times. They ran it like 50 sometimes against Oklahoma. Oklahoma has one of the best defenses in the country in terms of disruption and havoc and creating turnovers and things like that. Well, in those 21 pass attempts, Nico was strip sacked, fumbled twice, and Oklahoma recovered both of them. I mean, that's 1 out of 10 dropbacks. He lost the ball in the pocket to a fumble. And so these are things that I think might have hurt his confidence a little bit.
That was Trevor talking about Nico Iamaleava, who will be quarterbacking the Vols tomorrow, the third Saturday in October. Get used to it, folks. Or I should say enjoy it, because it's not going to be an every year thing now. That's just the reality. So I have no idea what to make of this Alabama-Tennessee game. I don't trust either team. But I do find this little element of tomorrow afternoon's game fascinating. Again, these teams are college football playoff competitors, even though Alabama has not played to the level that we expect Alabama to, and Tennessee has not played to the level that we expect Tennessee to. But Nico has also not played to the level that we expected Nico to play. And so Saturday is a big game for the relationship between the Tennessee fan base and Nico Iamaleava. Because right now, in games that matter, Nico threw for 314 and a half against UT Chattanooga. And I listened to Robbie Stanley after that drop his pants. And oh my God, did you see how Nico looked this weekend against Chattanooga? Since then, 211 yards, 173 yards, 194 yards, 158 yards in a loss, and 169 yards, no touchdowns, and a pick on Saturday at home against Florida, a bad Florida team, in an overtime win that didn't need to go to overtime. Bad. And you may say, well, it's not fair necessarily to put all of this on Nico. He's a freshman. I mean, Nico was born, I actually wonder like what year Nico was born in. I mean, because he's got to be, it's got to be what, 2004? Like that's probably when
2004, I think, yeah.
2004. Like I remember 2004. But the truth is Nico signed for $8 million reportedly to come play football at Tennessee. And I'm not going to want to be one of these bitter nanas like Nick Saban that goes on Pat McAfee and Game Day every week to bitch about NIL to say, you know, at the beginning, NIL wasn't supposed to be about pay for play. It was about name, image, and likeness. Greg Sankey came on our show and said the same thing. And I'm like, that's great, but like you knew. When the Supreme Court said, you got to have NIL, you knew what that meant it was going to be. Even though, again, NIL is really supposed to be like the Dr. Pepper commercials Caleb Williams was doing. It's like, well, you're Caleb Williams, so you can endorse Dr. Pepper, or you can do a Wendy's commercial. Not, hey, this collective is paying you X amount of dollars to play quarterback, and I don't even know what you're endorsing. Nothing. But that's what it was always going to be. This is how it is. So again, Nico reportedly signed for $8 million as a 17-year-old. Sat out last year behind Joe Milton because, hey, Josh Heupel's got a plan. Played the bowl game last year, played very well. Played the Chattanooga game, threw for 300 yards and a half. Everybody's talking Heisman. And even I was like, hey, maybe this guy is that dude. You know, Josh Heupel's a quarterback guru, and Josh Heupel is, you know, handpicked this guy, and they've paid all this money for Nico, and they sat him and ran him through the plan, and now it's time, second year as a college student, it's time to go play some big boy football and go win a Heisman and go get UT into the national championship game. And it certainly has not happened. it has not looked like that. And in other places, a young guy would be able to grow. Now, college football is different because 3 years ago, it could have been, well, you know, Nico's going to sit the bench or Nico's going to come along slowly. But by the time he's a senior, he'll be XYZ. But we don't do that anymore in college football. Everybody's a free agent at the end of every season. So you got to win now in college football. And for the money that UT paid for Nico, they expect Lamar Jackson by year number two. And he's not that. So up until this point, I believe the Tennessee fan base has been concerned. Maybe not panicking, but a little concerned by the lack of progress. And as Trevor said, big plays by the Tennessee coaching staff. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, Nico's got real talent. You know, that throw that he made at the end of the Arkansas game with 35 seconds to go when Josh Heupel didn't call timeout, that was a beautiful throw. Beautiful. I mean, that was a special talent kind of play. He just doesn't have a lot of those. That's a problem. Well, Tennessee fans aren't going to be very patient after Saturday. The expectation, I think, is Alabama's down. It's not the same Alabama. Nick Saban's not there anymore. This game is at home. Hendon Hooker played out of his mind and beat Alabama. And now Nico needs to, as we would say in hockey, pay what he owes. And while it may be unfair to say, Jared, you're asking somebody who was born 19 years ago to meet an expectation level against Alabama that you would reserve for a pro quarterback? That's what college football is now. And Vol fans know it too. Vol fans know they paid for this quarterback. They know it wasn't a legacy recruit. They know it wasn't a big battle between them and Georgia and Alabama and South Carolina and Ole Miss. And he liked your campus the best. They bought him. And they expect him to be a star. And it might be early. And he might develop into a star. But they didn't pay for Nico to become a star down the road. They paid for Nico to be a star now. And he has been incredibly underwhelming. And I kind of feel like Saturday is going to be what either bends the relationship into the right direction or maybe even breaks it for good, and he'll be Jared Garantano and quarterbacking somewhere else next year. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. I went down the rabbit hole this morning, and I did a comparison. Because when Will Levis was drafted, there was this belief that, hey, maybe he can be the next Josh Allen. In fact, his offensive coordinator, Liam Cohen at Kentucky, told me, said, I think he can be like the next Josh Allen. Well, where does he compare to Josh Allen through 2 years? I was kind of shocked by what I saw. That's next.